Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Watch Up, Walk On fans, we have an absolute savage in the building today. Pat Lugo of the Iowa Hawkeye wrestling team joins the podcast to talk his career getting cut short by this COVID stuff, to talk his future, to talk his time with the team. It's a very exciting podcast. We loved having Pat on. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk On fans, episode 127 of the podcast. And today we're back with an absolute savage. We're joined today by Pat Lugo, a guy who me and Kevin, I know for sure, have been watching wrestle for several years now, watching him tear it up in the black and gold. We've had a wrestler on a couple times already, really enjoyed the conversation. So we're just trying to get back to that and bring some more Hawkeye sports. So, man, without further ado, Pat, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure.
Pat, this has been a crazy year for you, I'm sure, and you can talk about it. I want to start with what just went down, the Rumble on the Rooftop. Tell us all about what you just wrestled in, what it was all about, all the details, and kind of just take us through that whole scenario.
So this event was the first time they had this event. It was ran by a company named Fight TV. It was pretty smooth. Everything went good. You could tell it was like an event that was coming up in progress. You know, trying to make a name for herself. But a good event, good people. It was on the rooftop of a hotel garage, so it was pretty hot. It's pretty hot outside. A lot of people. They had to put the people like attendance for like 100, I think it was supposed to be like 50, but then they got up to 100. I know like people were like waiting outside, like wanting to get in, but they couldn't because of all the rules and stuff. So, but they had a lot of streams were sold, and it was pretty good event.
And it was
on a rooftop. Was that like fucking wild, or like do you just kind of like put it out of your mind, like, hey man, I'm just back in Carver wrestling?
I mean, I didn't really think of it like it was a wild thing, because like I did it before when I was younger. I grew up in Florida, and I wrestled outside before, so I kind of knew what to expect a little bit, but it was fun. It's different. I haven't done it in a long time, and like I said, it was a blast, you know, getting back out there whooping the kids' ass.
That's exactly what we like to hear on this podcast. That's where we're
at. Yeah.
You wrestled a guy from Ohio State, right?
Yeah, the Birdies, Ohio State.
The Birdies. So I actually want to talk about it this past season. Well, let's throw back. Actually, you mentioned you're from Florida. You didn't start out as an Iowa Hawkeye. You started out at Edinburgh. I just did my research. I've been prepping for this podcast a little bit. From Florida, you ended your high school career on like a crazy, like 130 or 160 match winning streak, 2-time state champion as a junior and a senior. So just, you know, the kind of record and kind of resume that we expect for a Hawkeye wrestler to have. But the black and gold wasn't your initial stop. You went to Edinburgh, and I want to hear a little bit about that experience and kind of how you made your way from Florida to there and then Iowa City.
Well, coming out of high school, I didn't really have like a lot of big time names, like a lot of schools didn't really want me for whatever reason.
Sure.
So my best option. What was that?
He said, "We know all about that."
Yeah. So, Edinburgh was my best option, but they were good at the time. You know, they just got third at nationals. They were like really good, a lot of good wrestlers. So I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm going to Edinburgh." And then, I didn't know what to expect when I got there. I knew it was gonna be a different town from what I'm used to, like Miami, the city, this and that, all the lights and colors. But when I got to Edinburgh, it was complete opposite. It was like, you know, couple restaurants in town, couple bars, and you know, that was pretty much it. Like, population was very low.
Where is Edinburgh at?
Pennsylvania. Small town. Yeah, okay. It's probably like 2 hours away from Pittsburgh.
Okay, cool.
Let me stop you right there. Who takes high school wrestling more seriously? Iowa, after having been here for however many years, 3-4 years you've been in Iowa, or Pennsylvania? Because I know they take it serious out there.
That's a hard question. Who takes it more seriously? Probably Iowa. But who's better? Pennsylvania for sure.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
For sure. Yeah. I went to Edinburgh for 2 years. My little brother actually went there with me for 1 year. So we were like roommates out there. It was pretty cool. But
nice.
Yeah. So, this one thing happened, like what opened my eyes to like transfer was my head coach at the time, Coach Tim Flynn, was looking for job opportunities elsewhere. And I met with him one-on-one, talked to him. I said, "Look, man, you want to find a better opportunity for you. I respect that. You know, let me find an opportunity better for me. Let me, like, search. Let me go for different schools." And he didn't like that. So, you know, we went back and forth, this and that. Long, long process. I was going to even bring lawyers into it, you know. But it didn't get to that. It didn't get to that. But it was going into it. Like I said, it was crazy ass process, and it took months. You know, I was like, at one point I was training at home, I was training to be on the junior world team trials, like junior world team tournament. And I was training at home with like a bunch of dads and high school wrestlers. And it was a rough time, but rough times, you know, make you know what I'm saying? So
for sure.
But at least in wrestling, it's unique in the way that you can find elite level training on your own. Where like if you're a football player and you somehow just don't have a team to play with, like you can do some footwork drills and stuff and catch balls or whatever, but it's not the same. Whereas in wrestling or fighting, like if you're competing against really good guys, like at least you're getting your work in.
Yeah, that's true. I agree 100%.
So you finally get through this process, and how does Iowa City and the Hawkeyes come onto the radar?
So it was my sophomore year of college. I wrestled Brandon Sorensen at a dual meet. I ended up bringing a lovely guy and whatever. I beat him in the Coastal tough match, and I kind of think that opened a lot of eyes for different schools like Iowa, Penn State, blah, blah, blah. And after that season is when I wanted to transfer. So they knew I could wrestle. You know, I just didn't have a good performance at the national tournament. But they knew I could wrestle. So I reached out to them when I was able to. And, you know, I was the best team and the best fit, in my opinion. And I think I made the right choice, you know?
Yeah, I would say so. It's funny. It comes full circle. You wrestle Sorensen, you beat him.
And then, shout out to Sorensen. Sorensen Strong. That's why I'm wearing this.
Yes,
bandana.
Sir.
I knew
you might get mine. I don't know where my bandana is at.
That's what I'm saying is we circle full back. And last week, up on the rooftop, you're wearing a fucking red, white, and blue
Sorensen singlet. So live.
Like, yeah. Obviously, such a shitty situation. But like, that's such a crazy story. Like that's how you find Iowa. You kind of get on the map by wrestling him, and then you're repping him up top on like this independent wrestling kind of event. Talk about your relationship with him. And what wearing that singlet meant and what it was like to represent him in kind of the one-on-one fight, but then also be able to do it for him, you know, like what was that like?
I mean, when I put his bandana on, when I put the singlet on, you know, it means a lot to me because like I said, I feel like me wrestling him was like, you know, opened a lot of people's eyes, you know? And, yeah, of course, I want to support him and the battle he's fighting with cancer and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just an add-on, if I had, like, if I could say, you know, it's just, like, you're the reason why I'm here, you know. I'm going to support you as much as I can. That's the way I think of it. So I'll wear your freaking shirt every day. I'll wear your singlet every time I can, you know. So, like, me and his relationship, we're not really that tight, but, like,
sure.
You know, we're like, you know, if I see him, he sees me, you know, it's all love. So
it's a respect thing. That's really cool.
For sure. 100%. Yeah.
100%. So you get to Iowa City and you've got 2 years under your belt at Edinburgh. And this is 2017 now. And you take a red shirt year because Sorensen is still wrestling for the Hawkeyes. Like he's still in the black and gold. Talk about the transition. What was Iowa City like compared to Edinburgh? What was the culture of the wrestling program like? What you know, as a guy that walks into the Iowa program, the legendary Iowa Hawkeye wrestling program, like that's got to be eye-opening for sure. What were you thinking at that point?
So not to like talk shit on other programs, but like when I'm at other like program like at Edinburgh, I felt like it was more of a job, you know, like wrestling. This is my job, you know. You go to work from this time to that time, and that's it. When I'm here, I feel like I'm a professional. You know what I mean? This is my job, but it doesn't feel like a job. It feels like I don't know, it just feels right. You know, it feels like you're a top level athlete, you know, which we are, you know, which all the athletes at the school are. So they make you feel that way. You know, they're not just wrestling coaches as well. You know, they check up on you from time to time. And, you know when they can, they invite you over for dinner. You know, just stuff like that. It's always supporting you. It's always giving you that home feeling. You know, if you're a little homesick, they'll give you that home feeling. You know, so
how much you love the Brands Brothers?
Oh, they're awesome, man. It's funny as hell. Like you would never expect how they love to joke around. Like when the outside the restroom, when the inside the restroom is all like wrestling, but like outside, man, they're like trying to mess with you, play games and stuff. It's like it's funny as hell.
So I remember, I think it was like the Oklahoma State match this year that they almost got into it. Like one of them almost got into a fight with one of the Oklahoma State coaches.
I don't remember that. Was it this year?
one of our coaches had to get like sent out of the arena, or they were trying to send him out of the arena, and like he wouldn't leave.
Shit, I don't remember that.
Pat was so locked in, he doesn't even remember.
I don't remember that. Like I was.
It was in one of the middle matches, so it might have been like during your match or something. But dude, they're just such high energy guys. They got to be so much fun to play for.
Here's a brand story that you guys will appreciate. I believe it was Terry. Do you remember USA versus the World meets Pat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who was the coach? Was it Terry?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, Terry was the OTC coach, yeah.
All right, so I went to one of the meets in Cedar Rapids, and during one of the matches, I don't remember what happened or what, but something set Coach Brands off to the point where they were literally trying to throw him out of the meet. They were trying to, but he wouldn't leave. He was so mad, he refused to even leave after getting kicked out.
Yeah, that's funny as hell. That's what's sweet about wrestling for these guys. Like they were fight to the end for you. So, you know, so when you will go out there, it's kind of easy to fight because it's like, you know, you got backup, you know, you know what I mean? So
yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's all good, yeah.
They are one crucial part to the Iowa wrestling culture that that is just so important. Another important part of that culture is what Carver brings to the table as far as an arena and a setting to wrestle a match in. I want to hear in your words what it's like to run out in front of the fans in Carver Hawkeye Arena. Well, I mean, that has got to be one of the best feelings on earth, right?
Yeah. Man, goosebumps every time I think about that, man. Oh, for real. Because, like, when you walk out, you want to be so calm, but, like, because you don't want to get antsy. Because if I feel like if I look at the crowd and I hear everything, I get, like, my anxiety starts to build up. And then I get tired quicker when I wrestle. So if I just stay calm, relax, you know, don't look at the crowd, just, you know, focus on my match, I end up doing good. But it feels like, I don't know, like you're just like cold. Like you're trying to stay warm, but like your goosebumps are like getting you cold, you know, you hear everyone's looking at you, just screaming, let's go. And you kind of like fuck, like goddamn.
when Kevin and I were in that arena, dude, we were juiced to the tits, as Kevin said.
Yeah, fucking moon, baby. Yeah. Talk about the Penn State match, because I've never heard stadium like about to blow the fuck off.
Kevin's all like bro body, but he's talking about the Penn State match.
Yeah, I hear him.
Insane.
I remember the one memory I have of the Penn State. I actually have two, but one of them is I think it was the start of the second period when I was wrestling. The guy chose us down, and like I'm just waiting to get on top, and I just everyone's screaming, and my headgear is like vibrating. I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'll try to like grab it like to like stop making shaking, and I'm just like, relax, man, relax. I'm just telling myself to breathe and relax, and you know, keep wrestling. But another memory I had was probably the loudest of the night was when Michael Cameron took down Mark Hall.
Yes, sir.
I blacked out for like a good 45 seconds. Like I was just going crazy the whole time. I grabbed the water bottle from the floor, started throwing it everywhere, jumping. I probably dude, jumped like 20. It was crazy.
Yeah, dude. The like half the phone was just seeing the entire sideline just absolutely erupting. Like,
oh my God!
I know it's a team sport, but you know, at the end of the day, it's 1v1 in the middle. But it's just awesome to see you guys get up for each other. I mean, that was a hell of a match, too.
Do you get more juiced for yourself winning a match or for somebody else winning a big match?
For someone else, for sure.
For sure. Same. Yeah. Like when somebody made a big play, like I got ridiculously turned up.
Yeah. You start dancing and stuff, man.
You go, Kev.
I was about to say I got to head out here in like 5 minutes or so. So I just got one big question, man.
What's up?
First of all, congrats on winning the Big Ten title this year. In my mind, makes you the national championship. Makes you the national champion. You won the Big Ten, so you're a national champion in my book. And so you guys are going into the Big Ten or the Nationals up in Minneapolis, and like you're a one seed. We got like 5 1 seeds going into this thing, and they can't like. What is your guys' mindset? Were you guys hearing rumors of them canceling it or no? Or like what was going on?
Hey guys, yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
When I heard that the NBA season got canceled, I was like, damn, like they're really going to end up canceling our event. But I didn't want to believe it. I didn't really believe it until like couple of days after it happened, you know? So when they told us, like, it's the complete opposite. Like, that feeling of me cheering during the Penn State meet was literally complete opposite. So, like, I was down, you know what I mean? So it was a lot, it was a hard time for a lot of us, but, you know, we got each other to bring each other up. That's why, you know, we're still keep fighting, keep going, you know? So it shit happens. It is what it is.
I mean, I felt so bad for y'all because y'all had an unbelievable season, especially you as a senior and as a one seed, too. It's like they literally just took a national championship away from you guys.
Yeah, it is. Basically, yeah, that's how it is, you know? But there ain't that much we can do about it. Just move on, I guess.
I know, man. I think they're going to have a pretty good squad next year. You're the only one, you only started graduating, right?
Yeah, I'm the only one out. But they should definitely be a good team next year and use like this thing for like, you know, more motivation for them to, you know.
Absolutely. Who do you like taking your spot at 149?
I don't know. I think this guy we got Cup, probably Max Mirren. I think he's bumping up. I'm not sure. I don't really know all the secrets yet, you know.
The secrets. Like,
I don't know who's going here, who's going there, stuff like that.
One thing we do know is that they'll have it figured out come the season, they'll be ready to rumble.
Yeah, Kev, that's one thing for sure.
You heading out, Kev?
Yeah. So one more quick question, man. Like the transition to like from being a Hawkeye wrestler to joining the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. Like, what's it like being kind of, you know, done with Iowa, but you know, like you're always a Hawk, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty smooth transition. Hanging out with the older guys a little more, like guys that already were on the Hawkeye Wrestling Club that done the whole process. So it's pretty cool. I mean, same coaches, same. It's the same thing, honestly. But just, you know, you just got a little different singlet on. You can't walk out the carver no more. But you still wrestling. Still got the team on your back and stuff like that. So it's good.
I feel you, man. Well, man, big fan. Huge success this year, man. Congratulations on the Big Ten title. I got to go pound a few more beers for the 4th of July weekend, but I appreciate you coming on, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Pat, here's a question for you. Have you ever thought about fighting? Because I know that wrestlers who are at an elite level have such a huge leg up on everybody when it comes to making the transition, and it's something that I would love to do personally. So I just figure somebody who's already in that lifestyle, already knows what it's like to cut weight, maintain weight, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I just feel like you might be somebody that would be a beast at it.
I mean, yeah, I think about it now. I used to box when I was younger, so I mean, I know how to fight, and I used to fight when I was a little kid sometimes. So do I think about it now? Yeah, I got a couple guys like hit me up, like, "Hey, man, come." I'm like American Top Team, like Steve Mako. Like I went out there and wrestled.
I love American Top Team.
Yeah. I went out there and I wrestled Dustin Poirier.
Oh shit!
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah, I wrestled him. Yeah, he's big as fuck. Man.
El Diamante, that's a bad dude right there. Yeah, he'll give you that. Oh man, that's sick.
Hey man, he did. He swung on me like two or three times, like for real, because like we were like wrestling hard.
Uh huh.
And like I guess we were getting into it. And then he like, boom, boom. I was like this. I was like, I swung back, and then man, shit. I was like, this shit's about to happen for real. I was like,
that's hilarious.
I was like, fuck it. Like,
I'm telling you, man, because I've seen you wrestle, and just like the way you're built, the way you wrestle people, like you're just the type of dude who would make it in MMA.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it. If I do end up going that route, I'll probably be after. The next Olympics, so try and do that, and then probably go down. I don't know. I gotta see how my body feels in 4 years. You know, how my mind feels and stuff like that. So it's a long.
That takes us into another question. Is, you know, the season's over, shit went down, COVID, all this BS. So talk about the regrouping period, kind of figuring out what was next for Pat Lugo, like. What does that look like? Was it always the Olympics? Was that on the mind, or the I guess I'm not huge into wrestling, so I don't know what the worlds I guess is a wrestling event as well. Like, is that the goal?
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. Worlds is every year. And Olympics is obviously every 4 years. So yeah, my goal is to win those both, and you know, just keep winning. You know, just yeah, like the whole process. That's what I was figuring out. I knew I was gonna end up wrestling after college.
Yeah,
but I when I was at Edinburgh, I didn't know if I was gonna wrestle after college. Like when I got to Iowa, like that's when I figured, like, yeah, I really want to do this more. You know, it's fun. So. Yeah, I mean, things can change. You know, I might wake up tomorrow and find something else. So I don't really like planning out my whole life like that. You know, I'll plan out maybe a year or two, but like,
sure.
You know what I mean? So things can change, and you never know what could happen. Like
for sure,
it's COVID stuff. So yeah.
So before we hopped on here, I was watching the Big Ten Championship match against Sammy Sasso, Ohio State.
Yeah,
he's your only loss during this past year, and you come back, it's the 1 versus 2 seed. And like Drake was saying, kind of relating your style of wrestling to potentially translating to fighting. I watched that full match, and especially in that first period, you know, you score early, and just the toughness and the fight that you brought to riding him out and to just not letting him breathe, I think is something that a lot of Hawkeye wrestlers, you know, everyone's got their own style, but it's kind of the way of the Hawkeye wrestler, and something that you do is extremely well. Is that something that you've always had as a part of you? During that match, they showed your dad and mom on the screen. Yeah. Your dad, bro, is Jack. So I have to imagine that he played a big part in the way you thought about athletics, the competitive nature that you had growing up, and just kind of that fight that you have inside you. Talk about that mindset and kind of how you approach each wrestling match. Maybe talk about that specific match in general. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think my mindset comes from definitely where I grew up, how I grew up and where I grew up from. And like definitely a lot from my father as well. He tells me stories like how he used to get into like back in the days, like all the gang violence and stuff like that. And you know, I see it. I've grew up around it a little bit here and there. So you know, it just makes you like, I don't know. I feel like it makes you a little tougher. It makes you a little more grounded. You know, more humbled as well. So going into that match or like a lot of big matches I have, I kind of revisit, you know, those past events that I maybe had in the past that kind of made me,
yeah,
you know, kind of who I am, and I take it out on like my opponent. But like, I don't want to get too angry or too mad because I'll get tired quick. So I try to relax. It's kind of like a hard balance to find.
Right.
So, but once you find it, you know, you're golden. You're good. So going into that match, I kind of like, I don't know. I felt like I had a lot of hatred towards him. Even though I didn't, you know, he never disrespected me. I never disrespected him. I just put it in my head that like I do not like this guy. You know, I do not. He's trying to literally take money away from me and my family's pockets. You know, so like, why would I want like anyone to do that? So, like if I lose, like I, you know, that's gonna make my parents down. It's gonna make my mom cry. Like he wants to make my mom cry. Like hell no, you're not gonna do that. So you know what I mean? That's kind of like how I think.
That's so
like,
gangster, dude.
Yeah.
That's like, that one-on-one thing that you guys need to do.
Go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just saying that's just – nobody's going to make your mom cry, and then you went out and beat his ass. Yeah. Like, that's just – there's no other way to put it. That's gangster.
What was the feeling like, you know, the whistle blows, redemption, you beat the one guy who put a loss on your record, and you're the Big Ten champion – I mean, that's got to feel just insane, right?
Yeah, I felt good. I mean, it felt like exactly redemption. Like revenge is one of the sweetest joys in life, you know. So, like once I got that W over him, like yeah, like I'm the man. Like you go home. Like you go think about what you did. Like stuff like that. Like
the way you talk, it makes me think that when you won that match, everything felt right in the world. Everything leveled itself out. Things were the way it was supposed to be because you knew. I saw a quote. It might not have been from that day, but somewhere from during the season, and I hear this from all the Iowa guys and wrestlers in general because y'all are crazy as shit. You know that. You said, you know, straight up. Someone asked you. You were like, "I'm the best. I'm the best in the country this year, no matter what. It doesn't matter who's on the mat. Like, I'm the best in the country." And I think you knew that. And that was like the, you know, the thing that finally pushed it over the top. It's like, okay, validation. Like, I am the best. Again, which is why it's so shitty that it got cut off and
yeah,
weren't able to wrestle NCAA. It's like Kevin said, I know competitors don't like hypotheticals because they like to go do it, talk the talk, and walk the walk. But, man, it was fun to watch that match. It was fun to watch you guys. You have one of the dopest tats I've ever seen. Like,
yeah,
are you Samoan? Is that what that is?
I'm Aztec, so I got a little Aztec.
Oh, you're Aztec.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got a little Aztec, a little eagle right there. You know, I got something on my chest.
Yeah. So
yeah, laughing on my back.
Okay, and your dad has the tattoo as well.
Yeah, so is my little brother. Like, we all us three have it.
That's so sick.
Having Aztec in your lineage is so badass.
I'm yeah.
ridiculously jealous.
Like, these last of Mohicans.
Last Mohicans, exactly.
Before we let you go, Pat, unless something else pops in my head, there's one thing I want to talk about that I feel like is super relevant. And so I don't know how closely you follow Iowa football, but obviously a bunch of shit has been going down lately. And just in society in general, a bunch of social cultural changes going on. You are, like you just said, you have Aztec in your blood. You got culture. You bring that flair to Iowa mm-hmm. City from Miami. You know, Miami, it's a little different than Iowa City. What was that transition like? Did you feel that culture shock? Did you feel like you had to adjust? A big part of the conversation with some of the former Iowa football players right now is that a lot of the disparity inside the complex and inside of our program was we just didn't have enough time to adjust and adapt to that super disciplined culture that maybe some guys didn't come from or didn't grow up in. And so I'm wondering how and you didn't go right from, you know, Miami to Iowa City, but what were the differences between Iowa City and talk about maybe how the brands run their program as far as like how disciplined and structured it is. And if that was kind of something that you had to get used to, or that was just something you kind of came from and you adapted well into.
I think I had to get used to it a little bit, but I think I adapted pretty quick. Like you said, the brands are very disciplined. You know, the coaches here is a lot different from coach in Miami. Like, you can even tell on the people, like how they drive. You know, it's difference. Like, difference how they drive. You know, difference in how people walk, how people dress, you know, how people talk. It's a big difference. But you know, is it a bad difference? No, it's a good difference. So, like, the reason why I'm here is to grow in wrestling and grow in as a person. And it's very hard for you to do that at like a place like Miami, because there's a lot of ways to go wrong there. Like, a lot of ways. You turn right, you know, boom, you're in trouble. You turn left, boom, you're in trouble. So you gotta stay straight. But if you turn right or left in Iowa City, you know, you're fine. You know, so I'm not bagging on like where I'm coming from. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, this,
sure,
that's how it is. Like there's no wrestling in Florida. So there's no college wrestling in Florida. So, you know, I had to leave. Like, if I want to keep wrestling, I had to leave. Like I said, like, it's very easy to fall into, you know, drugs and violence and, you know, hanging out and girls and stuff. Like all that shit really doesn't matter to me, you know. So,
yeah.
Like, what matters is getting my damn degree, and I got that, and wrestling, you know, like, what I'm love to do. So that's what really matters, and that's why I'm here. Yeah,
I love it. Drake, you got anything else for Pat?
I don't have too many more questions. I really enjoyed hearing his story, man. Just hearing talk to you, and man, all the wrestling conversations are great.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, bro, we're excited. We're super excited to see what happens, man. Because we're obviously as fellow Hawkeye student athletes, like, you know, people who cover the sports right now. We run the podcast on it. We will we'll definitely follow you as long as you're still wrestling and competing.
And boy, if someday you start making a run at the UFC, I will be the number one Pat Lugo UFC fan of all time.
Yeah,
for real.
I won't forget. We'll get another podcast going.
Absolutely. We'll if Pat Lugo's out beating ass in UFC, we'll be at every event.
On my life, I'll be at them fights.
But we're excited to see what happens in Worlds, what happens with the Olympics. Hopefully all that pans out and this COVID shit goes away. Pat, thank you so much for joining us. It was we really appreciate when people give us the time, able to tell the story, you know, able to shed a little light on the Sorensen Strong stuff, and just you know, kind of celebrate you, because God knows we weren't able to do it with an NCAA championship, so we're gonna bring light to it any way we can. And I'm glad we were able to get you on this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, man. Appreciate having me.
That was episode 127 of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week talking at you again. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.